Good morning. I have just a couple of announcements that were handed to me a little later than Rich's fine job that he did this morning on the announcements. So if you would bear with me for a moment. I was told that the ceremony for Kylie and her court will be before the football game, and that was someone was wanting to make that known. So if you wanted to see that and honor her by being there, you would have the opportunity. And also, Matt and Kendra wanted me to share with you. We have some before and after pictures of Cricket before and after her surgery, and so if you want to, there we go. She had cleft palate surgery, and they wanted to ask for us to continue praying for her because she's been taken from the Christian orphanage and put into state care, and she won't have the medication and the loving care that she's had, and there's a bit of anxiety in that, and she needs to heal well and needs to be held and loved and cared for. And we've gone from that environment to concrete floors and lots of numbers in the room with her, and so they're very concerned for that. So we're going to pray here. We're going to pray for Cricket. We're going to pray for us and our time here together this morning. Matt and Kendra, is that close? Is there anything that I know there's lots I've missed? But we love you, and we're praying for her, okay? And Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, I know there are things in Matt and Kendra's heart that I'm not getting anywhere near today. And so we're really thankful for who you are. And that you know us better than we know ourselves. And that today you love the little girl in China so much that you're there with her. And that's power, God. That is so peaceful for us. It's so exciting to know. Lord, and yet you're here with us. And that kind of messes with us a little bit. But it's exciting to know a God who can see and knows your children so well, God. And so today we pray for blessings for her and for comfort. We pray that her pain is just settled by you, that her healing is complete and she has no setbacks, Lord, and that this family can be united together very soon. That's, I think that's very clear of what we really like to happen here, God. And we're sure you would like that as well. So we pray that you take care of that. And Lord, for being together with my brothers and sisters today, I'm thrilled. I'm sure there's nobody here that deserves to be here less than me, and I thank you that you would include me in your family and in your kingdom, and Lord, and that I get to speak for you, and I take that for granted, but I certainly don't take it for granted, and I pray that you would move us today closer to you. I pray that you would move me closer to you, God. And in doing that, you'd move me out of the way so that you could speak and I wouldn't be what we walk away with. God, we want to hear you and see you and know you. You are so good and you're so powerful and you're so mighty. You are our very life and we love you, God. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's really good to be with you all this morning. And I just want to share with you, I'm struggling with what I need to share with you today. And talking with some folks and sharing life with you and with others and just reading anything, anywhere, driving down a highway, doing whatever you do, it's very obvious that attitude for we here on this planet is a really big deal. It is a very difficult thing to maintain an attitude that has any type of influence or hopefulness to it. It's not just that our attitudes, and when I say our, I'm thinking of me. I just happen to be looking at you, so if you feel guilty, just accept it. It's very difficult to have an attitude that influences anybody, let alone an attitude that lets me rise above anything that I stumble upon just on a daily basis. And so in talking with some folks that I love dearly and doing some reading that really convicted me. I have to tell you, I was encouraged to speak on attitude this morning, and I need to assure you that I'm not the attitude guru. I'm not the one people are going, you need to get a Jamie Riley attitude. That isn't happening anywhere. There are no books about it or anything. And it's not just that, but this wasn't easy. The Lord, he reminded me of a whole lot of things this week while I'm studying about attitude and a lot of things about me. And you're probably not going to see any change in me, but at least I'm convicted, all right? That's a big deal, right? I mean, I can walk away convicted and just deal with it. I'm kidding. But I want you to know that I'm not talking as one who really believes my attitude is the shining example. It probably is the only reason I get to speak on it is because the Lord needed to get me to a little better place. So with that in mind, hang with me for just a bit, okay? It is very clear if you drive anywhere, if you go anywhere, if you watch a ball game, if you go down to the store, I mean, if you look on Facebook and Twitter, man, our attitudes are, they're just not good. And it's not just that they're not good, but we don't like that. I mean, it's not that we like it. It's just what we've settled for. And I know in me, I know that we're hoping for something better because I'm hoping for something better for me. And so I know in humankind and in mankind, there's something that wants something better than this muddling through with a wrestling, miserable attitude. And it's so interesting to hear people say words like, well, this is just who I am. You're going to have to accept it. And I'm going, no, we don't. You're just really not that big a deal. Get over yourself. Well, this is an issue and they've got a problem. I'm going to be the bigger person. No, you're not. When you say I'm going to be the bigger person, you're already the smaller person. And it's not possible. And we don't want to be these people. It's not like we want to be these people. It's just we've just accepted by default that we are in this misery, and I'm just going to roll with it. I'm just going to do whatever I can, and there is our biggest issue. I'm going to do whatever I can. And so we do things like, we say things like, well, you're just going to have to get used to me. This is who I am. Or we determine another thing. We determine I'm going to do something about this. And that might be even a bigger issue, because then you're masking, this is just who I am, by a fake you that has no will to really carry out what you're trying to do. And it's interesting for me to watch in the self-help sections, or if you just want to Google how to change your attitude or better have a better attitude, it is amazing the fake it till you make it, think yourself into being kind of information out there. Listen to some of this. In all of the information that I gathered or that I would look through, it's interesting how much stuff there is about climbing the corporate ladder or being a person of influence in your community, building friendships, being a great influence at the office or the church, or maybe just becoming a likable and lovable you. But all of this stuff is all about me getting there. So I compiled a list of quotes here, and it's not that they're bad. If we could find a way to get to something lasting, a real change, these quotes really would be helpful. But living a life of me trying to change me is just pretty hopeless, no matter how positive a quote I read to you. You leave with a little more information, but all that does is convict me even more. Listen to some of these. Some of the stuff that will help you become a better you. I hope you're smirking when I say that a little bit, because none of this stuff really has power in itself. A positive attitude may not solve all your problems, and I love this. A positive attitude may not solve all your problems, but it will annoy enough people to make it worth the effort. How awesome is that? And how many people said about that? Man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be positive, and their whole motivation is frustrating you. That's powerful. I mean, isn't that the Christian's thing? I mean, the Christian's thing is smile to make the world wonder what in the world went on at church today. It's like, really? Attitudes are contagious. Are yours worth catching? Wherever you go, no matter what the weather, always bring your own sunshine. I go to sunshine. I got it. If you don't get everything you want, think of the things that you don't get that you don't want. Man, that's a mouthful. If you don't get everything you want, think of the things you don't get that you don't want. Okay? I'm feeling better now. It's so hard when I have to, and so easy when I want to. Gotcha. That's a good one. Oh, my friend, it's not what they take from you that counts. It's what you do with what you have left. And then Winston Churchill, attitude is a little thing, but it makes a big difference. That's awesome. And they're all right. I mean, all of these are really, really good quotes. I'm going to get me a can-do attitude. I love that one. I'm going to get me a can-do attitude. You know? Your attitude determines your altitude in life. There you go, Luke. You happy now? Your attitude determines your altitude. There's truth in this stuff. If there were something that could help us get there. I mean, it's not like this stuff is just unimportant. It's just that I just really can't get there on my own. If there's nothing that I can find, if there's not a place I can go that would help me make a lasting change. Now, I have a story, and that's what you're supposed to do when you're teaching. You're supposed to have a story. It helps you, you know, kind of invest more in me. So I'm going to tell you a story this morning that will help your attitudes about having a better attitude. This is a revealing thing on me, by the way. When I was in 10th grade, my aunt and uncle owned a restaurant, and I had a cousin, have a cousin, who was my age, and so we hung out a lot together. The restaurant was in Jackson, and I really liked to go there. Always on the weekends, he and I would hang out together. He would come to my house for a while. We would play basketball, goof off, and he would eat my mom's cooking, and then I would go to the restaurant and eat his mom's cooking. You know, I mean, that was the good stuff right there. And plus, it was restaurant food, you know? I mean, that was a really big deal to get to go somewhere else. And I really enjoyed the folks there. The people who worked for them were really nice. They liked me. They knew who I was. They knew me by name. We would talk and hang out and visit. And the patrons, the people who would come in, it was always good just to know them. I would have to clean or, you know, sweep off the sidewalk or do whatever while I was there. It was always a little bit of work, but some girls came in too, so that made it a little worthwhile. You know, I mean, in and out, and here we go. Well, you know, it's kind of nice being at the restaurant. Well, one day they hired this waitress. She was a year or two older than me, and I don't know how to say this. I'll just say this. I'm a lot more mature now than I was then, okay? Way more discerning, so bear with me, okay? This girl, it's not only that she wasn't pretty, but she was really, 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 really not pretty. I mean, she was so not pretty. Now, I'm in 10th grade, but I remember thinking, why did you hire her? She's going to be bad for business. She's a waitress. I mean, this doesn't work. And I remember watching her in the first, and I'm telling you the truth, she wasn't pretty. I'm 10th grade. I mean, I that's what I'm thinking. And it's not that she wasn't pretty. I think I made my point. She was really, 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 really not pretty. I can't say the other word up here, I would tell you, but she wasn't pretty. But something very interesting happened the first day I was there. When she's working, she has this, she's really nice to people. And she's having a lot of fun. And she likes the folks she's meeting on her job, and she's really good at it. And I remember thinking, how dare you be so happy you're not pretty? How can you be so happy? It boggled my mind that you are so, I'm just being straight, so unattractive, yet you're so happy. And I walked away. I remember going home thinking, I don't get that, man. I don't have a clue what just happened in there. I'm going to go back the next day, and she's not going to have a job. There's no way she can be working. Then I show back up next week, and there she is. And it's not just that now she's being nice to people. They like her. I mean, they really, really like her. They're asking questions about, tell me about your family. Tell me, oh, by the way, how did it go last night? What went on with? And I'm like, I don't understand, but something else is going on. I don't think she's as not pretty as she was last week. She doesn't seem quite as, she's just really, really not pretty. Before, she's really, really, really not pretty. You know what I mean? I mean, it was like, I don't understand. And so I'm watching, and I'm waiting. She's going to make a mistake. She's going to drop her guard. Someone is going to tick her off. They're not going to tip her or something, and she's going to be upset. And she never got upset. And she's cleaning and whistling a happy tune and just having a blast all around her. I'm like, I don't get it, girl. In case you don't know, she's not very pretty. And I go home and come back the next week and the next week and the next week, and she's the same person, except somewhere she got like plastic surgery or something. Because now it's just that she's not pretty. I'm having to scratch my head going, you know she's not pretty. You don't think she's attractive. I mean, I'm telling myself, there is nothing. You know this girl. But she is, her attitude is so powerful that I can't see her anymore. My mind is kind of a mess in what I'm really taking in. Remember, I'm in 10th grade, all right? You see things a little differently, I hope, than I see them now. But I was really stunned to watch, and I remember going home one day thinking, I'm going to remember this because I'm going to need it. I look in the mirror. I'm like, you really need whatever she's doing to help you out as well. And the story was that she knew who she was. She had bought in, man. She knew the story. She knew what really mattered in life, and that her identity was already settled, and she just really, really loved life. It wasn't easy, man. People didn't tip her, and she was on her feet all day long, and she didn't get paid very much, and it wasn't a very good job, but she still maintained who she was through it all. And the wrestle for me was then to take that and try to figure out what had happened. Well, a couple of things were very clear. She was a believer in Jesus. She was a child. She knew that identity. And therein, I think, lies the story of everything, right? If we're talking about having a right attitude, and all of these quotes we're mentioning, obviously we don't have the ability to change ourselves on our own. But there is a place, there is someone who can make a difference for us. And so in wrestling with that, there are a couple of things I started wrestling with in Scripture. And let me get there and I will tell you. When I'm wrestling through the Scripture and looking at what Jesus has to say, there's a couple of things that come out about me and my attitudes. One is that a struggling attitude comes from a struggling heart. We understand that, right? I mean, it's so easy for me to say, I was doing really, really well today until you showed up. And when you showed up, you gave me a bad attitude. Or you messed up my day. Or I was driving and so-and-so pulled out in front of me. And don't we do that? Aren't we the blamers of everybody else? And so if I'm going to look and I'm going to make a decision, I'm watching this chick who what's inside of her comes out so clearly. I can't see who she is anymore. I mean, I see who she is, but I can't see who I thought she was. If I'm going to make a change, if I'm going to really do something, the first thing I have to do is make the determination that who I am is me. I mean, this is me and it's mine. You did not give me a bad attitude today. You created a great opportunity for me to expose the attitude I very clearly have. Right? I mean, nobody brings out my frustration. Nobody makes me frustrated. Nobody makes me angry. Nobody gives me a horribly a negative disposition about life. I've allowed stuff to pollute me to where I am that person. And you give me great opportunity, being human beings, to expose my attitude on a daily basis. And I'm not knocking, I'm saying, but dealing with people every day, you just don't do what I want you to do. You won't be who I want you to be. You have a life too. And so my negativeness, my frustration comes out. And it's so dishonoring to God. And so if I'm going to be different, and in the conversations I've had with people that I love dearly, and research and everything else, we really want to be different, don't we? I mean, we really want to be those people that have a different kind of attitude, a different kind of life. Because we are those who want to honor Jesus with who we are. I know you. I know that's what you want. I know that's what I want. But I really don't have the ability to grab a couple of cliches and hang on to them and then get me through a tough day. There's got to be more. And this girl reminded me of something that was really, really true. So let me hit a couple of verses here for you, and hopefully these will encourage you. In Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to say that if you're going to have a different you, if I'm going to be different than who I am, the only place for transformation is in the Word and in prayer. So we're going to jump to Hebrews chapter 4 immediately, and we're going to talk about real things about us. The good news about Jesus is really good news. He came so that we wouldn't have to stay the way we were. Salvation is for sure His work. But He won't just save me and leave me like I am. He'll meet me where I am, but He's going to move me. And in my attitude and who I really am, man, He's going to do a great work. And so Hebrews chapter 4, listen to this. For the word of God is active, living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so if I want to be a different dude, if I want to be a different guy, if I need a change in here, if I need to be that way and I want to, well, the first place it goes in the word, man, it judges me. It deals with me. He won't leave me the same after being there. So I want to get in the Word, and I want to pray. God, look, you see me, and be dead honest. Man, there's nothing like time alone with God to really have to face yourself or get to face yourself. What a blessing to get free from who we are. And then there's something really cool that He tells us, and we need to hang on to this, okay? I need to hear from God through the Word and through prayer, but listen to Revelation 13:8. Revelation 13:8, he's talking about the beast, he's talking about power, he's talking about a lot of things, but this scripture, a bit out of context, but the point is made here. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all those who have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. What I want to make is I want to make a point here about this thought that there was a Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world and why that should change our attitude. Why it should have some influence in us. The real deal with attitude is really about identity. It's about who I am. It's about who I think I am or what I've perceived myself to be. All the garbage that's come into my heart and I've let it stay there. They say that attitude or bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. You know, all this stuff I've held in here and hung on to. And so my attitude is really messed up. My identity is really messed up. And I read some scripture, and in reading the scripture, there's certain things, man, you just hang on. Why was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world? Why was Jesus slain before the foundation of the world? What is the point He's making here? Is there a point there at all? Well, just a quick reading helps me realize something, that before the beginning started, that God saw the need for my salvation, my relationship. All of you who have children, you knew up front what you were getting into, right? I mean, there were diapers that were going to really stink. And people told you, man, you're going to be getting up all night long. You're going to get puked on, peed on, pooped on. I mean, you're going to get spit up on. You're going to have crying babies, wailing babies. You're going to miss things that you really wanted to do. And you went, oh, I want a baby. And you knew what you're getting into, and you did it anyway, right? Why? Well, for love, right? For great relationship. This really mattered to you, matters to you. And when I read this scripture, what I see is God going, I know what I'm getting into. I know what I'm getting into with you, Greg and Price. I know what this thing holds for me. It's going to cost me my son. Great pain. But I love you. I want you. I get it. I'm not ignorant. I'm not even angry. I just, wide-eyed, resolved, know what I'm getting into when I say, in the beginning. And then he says, in the beginning. Identity really changes an attitude, right? That God knew everything about you, and before you ever showed up, Jesus had already paid the price for you. Can you get your mind around that? Before you showed up, I know it's going to cost me money for clothes, and I'm going to see that last bit of chicken enchilada that I really love, but she's going to want it too. And so she gets it. And those nasty diapers that make you kind of have dry heaves. I know what I'm getting into here. How powerful is that story? And that story is you. It's kind of difficult to have a stinky attitude when you know who you are. Wednesday night I was talking about Jesus as he was going to wash the disciples' feet. The scripture says Jesus knew where he had come from, the Father, and where he was going to the Father. So he got down, wrapped a towel around, and washed the disciples' feet. He knew who he was. This servant thing was just in him. He wasn't ticked off that they weren't washing one another's feet. He wasn't upset that they hadn't come around yet to understanding what they should be doing. It was just part of him. He was a servant and he served. And I'm convinced that our life every day, now me getting here, I need some prayer and I need some encouragement and maybe sometimes a kick in the backside. But I'm convinced that my life every day, if I really believe in who I am, if I believe what Scripture says about my identity, then every day on this planet ought to be like the week before you go to the beach on vacation in the summer. You know that week? You're going to vacation next week, so you don't care what they pile on you at work. You don't care what happens. Well, you say, man, I don't care. I can get through anything. I'm going to the beach next week. I'm out of here. You sign your resignation because you got a better job. Whatever, dude. The next 2 weeks, I don't care. Bring it. I have a better situation in a couple of weeks. And let me tell you about what God has promised you as his children. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. And I've been blessed to see the Grand Canyon. I mean, I've seen the ocean. I've seen babies born and places that I am stunned to see. And God's going, not there yet, buddy. Pile them all together. You're not there yet. And heaven is going to be stunning. Isn't it worth letting everything just wash off as Luke would say, like water off a duck's back. Man, he's been wanting me to say that for years. There's some kind of oil in their feathers, Jamie, and water just sheds right off of them. Gotcha. But really, like water off a duck's back. I mean, I know this stuff gets really messy, and it's a real struggle. But do you know what's coming for you? A couple weeks, you're at the beach, man. Who cares? A couple of weeks, you got a new job. What's it matter? That's my conviction about what my life ought to be every day. I'm a child of the King. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm a United States citizen, but I'm a citizen of heaven. That's where I belong. I'm a child of the King. And so my attitude worry, we have backup. Hang in there. Philippians chapter 2, the scripture says, if I'm going to be different, if I want to change who I really, if I want things to move, that I need to imitate Jesus. It was our scripture reading. The scripture says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, identity, right? If you have any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the other interests. If you're in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human kindness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And scripture goes on to say, and God exalted him to the highest place. What was his attitude? Submission. He wanted to look toward the needs of others and to honor his father with his life. And scripture says, your attitude ought to be the same way. Paul says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, changing your attitude. How? Man, you've got to put this thing at Jesus' feet. You've got to see who he's making you to be. I need to see who he's making me to be, and I need to buy in. Ask him for his power to change, to really see what he's doing in my life. And then the last thought I want to get across to us today is we have to avoid unhealthy heart habits. I mean, that's what we're after, right? We read it everywhere, every restaurant, everywhere, you know. Healthy heart, man, we're going to do better with this. Well, we have to do that spiritually as well. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do comes from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Everything you do comes from here. And this is where everything about my attitude shows up. What I'm watching on TV, what I'm taking in, what I'm thinking, what I'm telling myself, who I'm listening to, what I really, really feel, it's all from my heart. So when I speak, you know where my heart really is, right? And so scripture says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Here's what I would share with you about attitude of what we really want to be like or who we want to be. God, who is rich in mercy, has done all the incredible things that we have read today and more. I mean, there's so much that he has done for us. The good news really is good news. But the good news is shared by you and me. And the stories at restaurants and the supermarkets and gas stations and everywhere else about people who loathe Christians because the way that they carry themselves, about the attitude that they display when things don't go their way. Man, there's so not godliness in that. Jesus on the cross, what's he say? God, this really hurts. I hope you get them. Kill them all. They're all a bunch of jerks anyway. They only think about themselves. They never care about anybody else. And now he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And if we could just for a moment grab that thought, that everything that someone else does that ticks you off really isn't about you. They found the center of the universe, and it's not you, by the way. I don't want to say that. But it would be a healthy thing for us to decide, to understand that we are not the center that Jesus really is, and we're the ones who get to reflect him. So in your attitudes this week, I pray and I hope, and I ask you to pray for me and hope that God will move us to a better place. Life is so much more enjoyable when you see it from his perspective and live it well like that. Let's pray together. Father, thanks so much for this time and all the blessings of being your children. And Father, I pray that you will forgive me and forgive us when our attitudes aren't reflecting who we really are in you. God, it's such an incredible blessing to be your children. It's such a gift to be a child of the King, Lord. And we get so caught up in things not going the way we want them to go. Father, pray that our expectations are only that you're honored with our lives. And whatever that brings, help us to serve you well with our attitudes. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. If you desire to respond in any way, there's going to be an elder on either side of the auditorium. They will take your confession. If you want to become a child of God, they will baptize you. If you're just struggling with this stuff, like me, and you would like prayers, they will be glad to pray with you.